Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, Joshua.
How are you, my friend?
Fantastic.
Oh, you know, yesterday I did a 1 hour live radio interview through the Rollins radio station all by myself, and I missed you so much. It was so scary without you.
You've been seeing another radio station?
I have. But trust me, I missed you very, very, very much. You know, doing a live radio show by yourself is very scary.
When you say by yourself, did you host it or were you the guest?
No, I wasn't the host. There were four hosts and I was the only guest.
Oh my goodness, so you were interrogated.
For an hour, I felt this beam of light over my head as we talked about the arts. But
What was the most exciting thing you got to speak about?
Well, really, this whole initiative for healthy aging adults. We talked about that because they were passionate about learning what is there to do for seniors. And so it was great. I was able to talk about that. I was able to talk about the things that we're working on, you know, as an organization. So that was very exciting. And of course, I can talk for days about that kind of stuff. So it wasn't hard, but I was like, it just doesn't feel right without Mary.
Oh, thank you. I'm not as old as you, so.
Okay, Mary.
As I'm older than you.
Did you have a good week?
I did. Still delighted over last week's Faith Arts Village Orlando.
Awesome.
Fable is always one of my favorite things to do. First Friday of every month, artists come out and show what they have, and guests come out and are amazed. And I always find it funny to see them so amazed because we are such a creative city.
I know. And Mary, remind our listeners what FAVO is, because it's such a cool concept, and it's, again, one of those hidden jewels in our community.
The old Park Davis Motel on the corner of 50 and Highland has been turned into an arts village. Thanks to the church across the street and Will Benton, their organist, who's had the idea for this, they purchased the motel and turned every room into a studio. So on the first Friday, with food trucks and music and lots of guests that come out, every artist opens their doors and people stroll around and go into each room and see what the artist has. Everything from sewing projects, believe it or not, to paintings, drawings, ceramics, jewelry, and of course, wonderful black and white drawings by Jason Hunt.
I was wondering how you were going to slide that in there. So how do we get to a point where we're having a show every Friday there? Boy, there's just so much art and good things to see at that space.
We're hoping one day that can happen. I think for some reason the church must have a reason why it needs to be one Friday. Maybe it constitutes, it's under a different jurisdiction or a legal reason. I'm not sure. But we get asked that all the time. And I think maybe that day might just come.
That's great. Well, I know that you can help make that happen. So lots of great things happened in our community over the last couple of weeks. I did get to see Dracula by the Orlando Ballet.
And how was it?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. They did a partnership with the Milwaukee Ballet. Michael Pink came in and choreographed Dracula, but they also got the sets and costumes and everything. And it was just first class. And I was so, so happy about that. And we're having a fun thing. Us and the Philharmonic and the ballet are hosting an event in a couple weeks as we continue to make this strive together to have live music for the ballet for all their performances. So it was great. And then our own theater opened Metamorphosis.
Yes.
Which is a really cool play using the myths of the Greek gods, but all centered around water. So we literally built a pool in the middle of our theater. Oh, it's great.
And how long is that running until?
It's running, it's one more weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was 3 weekends. So we have one more weekend left of that. But, you know, it was neat to be able to see the visual. You know, we talk about how theater just brings to life conversations. And so these Greek myths, of course, are not always pure and holy.
No.
And so it brings up a lot of open doors of conversation for people to have about what's transpiring, including a moment where a young girl falls in love with their father. You know, just some really interesting ways for us to talk about things that happen in life. But it was beautiful to see this whole thing transpire in the water because of, in our history, how important water is to our culture and how it ebbs and flows through
life. What's happening right now in the Midwest.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really just beautiful. So hopefully you can go check out Metamorphosis.
I will.
And it was great.
Speaking of great, I'm looking forward to today's show.
I am too. You know, every week I get to talk to amazing organizations and great leaders, and I am so excited that today we have the Orlando Gay Chorus and some of their leadership. James Rohde, the artistic director, Carol Studer, the president of the member council, and Joel Strack, one of the founders of the course. And guys, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're all here.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks so much.
So the Orlando Gay Chorus for 26 years has been doing incredible work in our community. But unfortunately and fortunately, through the what's transpired in our community the last 6 months since June, with the Pulse tragedy, you've been really thrust into the limelight and really become leaders in our arts community to help us heal and to deal with this. Tell us a little bit about, James, we'll start with you. What was that like? I mean, I know you'll tell the story, but you were on a plane or you were out of town. All this happened and transpired. And then all of a sudden, Orlando Gay Chorus is all over Central Florida helping people heal. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I have my third job, which is a summer job. I'm up in Atlanta. And of course, I think like many of us, just woke up to texts from friends saying, are you okay? And such and such. And I was thinking, you know, what are you even talking about? And then it was just the flood of everything on the news. And so all of a sudden there's just calls and emails and, oh my God, there are performances to do. And the only thing I was thinking was I have to get back to Orlando. And, you know, I'm sitting in the Atlanta airport and I'm looking at CNN and there's Orlando Gay Chorus performing in one of the churches downtown.
Wow.
And there's some of our members with OGC shirts and, you know, hugging each other and crying. And I'm thinking, this is just really surreal.
Oh my God. So you were out of state watching this.
Yes.
Wow. Did you get right back?
I actually flew back in the next day. We had been asked to do the first vigil, the one that was at the Dr. Phillips Center. And I was on the phone with Carol and also our PR person, just, you know, how are we going to make this happen? And what are we going to do? And how is this all going to work? And I just called my boss of that company. I said, I need to fly back to Orlando. Mm-hmm. I need to be there. And they were like, of course you need to go. And I flew in. I think you picked me up at the airport. Carol picked me up and drove me right to the Dr. Phillips Center.
I literally went. You all were wonderful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we were able to, I had the privilege of working alongside you guys for the Beautiful Together tribute, which was just such a neat moment in the history of that, of what happened. And you guys were featured in that concert, but you really were featured in so many places and spaces and different groups of people throughout that whole time. Carol, how did you guys balance that? I mean, your choir, you know, even if you have 100 voices, how do you get so many people in different places?
Well, it was really tough because when everything happened, we didn't know. Well, first off, I went to the center just to kind of be there to see how the whole situation was going down. And because we knew there was going to be vigils popping up, and it was like, don't do it tonight, do it tomorrow. And there all this uncertainty. And finally, Joy MCC decided at 2 o'clock that day that they were going to do a vigil that night. So I went back home and put out the notice through our two mediums with the chorus. And I had no idea who was going to show up. We didn't have James. He was out of town. Our associate conductor was out of town. Our president of the chorus was out of town. Our, you know, our production guy was out of town. It was like, so flying by the seat of our pants. And I got there and 48 members showed up. And once we got there, then we had to decide what we could sing by what voice parts we had. And did we have an accompanist? No. So we had, what could we sing that didn't require accompanist? So it was really moment by moment. And that's really how we did the first 2 weeks. Sometimes I wouldn't find out till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Even when James flew in the next day, we didn't know until after his flight was booked if we were even going to have a vigil that night, because they kept saying, no, yes, no. And so I kept going, oh my gosh, he's flying in and now it's not going to happen. And so, but everything worked out.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in this evening. You're listening to From the Heart with Mary Thompson Hutt and Joshua Vickery on Magic 107.7 FM. And we are here with the Orlando Gay Chorus, and we're here with James and Carol and Joel. And we've just started to talk about just the incredible impact this organization has had on our community over the last couple of months. So
I want to ask a question about that, because you even mentioned you came and you helped us heal. Why, in your opinion, is it that music helps people heal?
Wow.
One of the things from a singer's standpoint, when you're in a large group together, you actually breathe together during the song, and that you become a unified group. And it when people witness, you know, 100 people, 50 people standing in front of them, all with that same heart, all with that same life
breath.
Yeah, it helps that connection to humanity, I think.
That's beautiful. I've never heard it put that way before.
Yeah, I mean, I have, but not in those exact words. Mm-hmm. I thought that was beautiful, too. And Joel, you're one of the founders of this course. And it's interesting that, really the gay community has been about love and about acceptance. And really, that came out in our community in a huge way like I've never seen before. I just heard Orlando City Soccer say they sold more rainbow flags than city soccer flags this season. I mean, it's just amazing what's happened. But and the phrase love is love has been coming out. I don't think there's any happenstance that this course was founded on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, 1990. That's so fitting.
How did that happen?
Well, we had gotten together prior to that and sort of figured out what are we going to call ourselves.
Who's we?
About 35 of us. We had a seed concert where the Tampa Bay Gay Men's Chorus and the South Florida Gay Men's Chorus came to Orlando and sang for the Orlando community, and it was to drive awareness that this chorus in Orlando was going to be started. We had about 60 people sign up that showed interest. And of that 60, about 35 actually came to the first gathering, the first meeting, where we discussed, how is this going to work? What sort of a function are we going to serve in the community? How are we going to manage this? Luckily, we had a gentleman named David Schuler, who had come from Omaha and had been a founding member of the Omaha Gay Men's Chorus, Gay Chorus. So he was really instrumental in helping guide us in our founding of the chorus.
And your mission is to inspire individuals, the community, and the world through excellence in musical entertainment. And your vision is using music to change images and attitudes, build a stronger community, and make the world a better place. First of all, I think those are incredible statements. Mm-hmm. But how do you feel like the Orlando Gay Chorus inspires individuals? And how do you think through what you're doing, you're making a difference? Carol?
Well, it's fun because we get to go to so many different variety of places, whether it be with high school to college students. And a lot of times, like, we're the first chance they see that there's a place for them to go, or there's people just like them. And it gives them an opportunity to explore and find out who they are.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I want to just bring out Mary. I had the privilege of sitting with them with the Orlando Gay Chorus through the United Arts panel, and it was such a fantastic presentation, and so much integrity and responsibility is happening in this organization. Sometimes we don't talk about that, but it's important. But you guys were talking a little bit, and I'd love to hear some more about how you're getting outside of your box in partnering with other charities, and you're really trying to get into places that that maybe the Orlando Gay Chorus has not been before, because you're trying to fight those stereotypes and things. So, James, talk to us a little bit why that's important.
Yeah, what's an example of that?
Well, we were really excited. Last year, we got to partner with Pet Alliance of Central Florida, which I think it's such a great charity. And it's not your typical gay event that we're always going to sing at. We're always going to sing for those events in the city. But there we were in front of 10,000 just regular Central Florida residents. And here we are, the Orlando Gay Chorus. And it was just great to partner with that charity. And there they were seeing us. And we're not kind of like this random group over in the corner. We're just a group of people. We love to sing together. We love to do service in the community. Mm-hmm. So I think it was great for us. It was great for the people of Orlando to see us just in that different light.
Yes, because we're all people first. We have our areas of life that we live in, but we're people.
So Joel, why was it important to have the word gay in the title of the organization?
When we founded the Orlando Gay Chorus, one of the key pieces, or the three legs of the stool, were the social experience that it was going to have for the members themselves, the musical experience that we were going to create that fine, great music, and the political experience, that inspiration, being an openly gay organization in a time period when it was still pretty new. There were people that had joined the chorus as founders that would not put their names into the programs because they were afraid they would lose their jobs or somebody would send it to their parents. Over the course of time, things have changed. But in our initial 5 years, We had tried to put an advertisement in one of the local arts magazines, and it was refused because it was considered controversial.
Oh, my.
Because the word gay was going to be used.
Wow.
And we were kept from going back to that original theater that we did the seed concert in. We had booked it for our first concert, and they discovered that it was a gay chorus now, and they said, no, we're not going to be able to rent to you.
Wow.
It's only to student groups, and that's why we did our first concert over at the Museum of Art.
Wow, we need to come back and talk more about this because I think it's important, Mary.
Yes.
So join us back here on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM, and our guest, the Orlando Gay Chorus.
Welcome back to From the Heart on Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here with my astute, sagacious, and erudite co-host Joshua Vickery and the Orlando Gay Choir. Whoa, this chorus rocks. I'm so intrigued at hearing your beginnings, and you just started getting into a little bit of what it was like when it first started, Joel, and I was wondering if you could continue painting that picture and bring us up to date.
Sure. Initially, we had about 35 singers that appeared on that in that first concert at the Museum of Art, and one of them was a female. But because we were majority male, we sang tenor one, tenor two, baritone, and bass parts. But throughout the course of the chorus's history, we've always had at least one, if not three to five, 10 women singing with us. One of the things I really love is the chorus has grown and developed, embracing the community at large. And so we've been able to move into new areas and new places. And actually, the chorus is now big enough that we have sopranos and altos as a standard part of the chorus experience.
That was a big change. I joined the chorus in 2009, and I hadn't sung in 28 years. And I just wanted to sing. So I auditioned, and they went, well, just so you know, you have to be a tenor. I'm going, that's okay. I've sung for 28 years. My voice has probably dropped. I don't know. And so I was just so happy to be singing again. And there was about 12 of us women at the time. And the next few years, it really grew where we got enough women that we started throwing in a couple pieces that had sopranos and altos. And so when we went to the Gala Festival, which is for all the choruses, back 4 years ago, we were still TTBB chorus. And so a year later, we officially became a soprano, alto, tenor, bass chorus.
Wow.
So it was fun to come to actually be sing soprano again, going, okay, the notes are mostly there.
That totally fits into your mission, right? Because by making it SATB, it opens the door for anyone to really join.
And we really have grown so much. We are looking for more upper voices. So if auditions are in January.
And you mentioned it's open to everybody.
Open to everyone. You don't have to be gay.
I am kind of curious. At the beginning of your beginnings, you were telling about how there just wasn't a lot of tolerance and compassion. That said, what are some of the benevolent gifts that were given onto you or the people that did show, wait a minute, that's not right, that did things for you to help you along your way?
We've had a number of different organizations. Walt Disney World is one of the groups that has supported the Gay Chorus for a number of years, both financially as well as their skill sets, the people that work at Disney coming and volunteering for the chorus in different roles to help produce our shows, whether it's a sound man or somebody doing the staging. It's been a really positive experience for the chorus to have that expertise come in from all different areas.
That always makes me feel good to hear, Joshua.
I know, it does me too.
As someone who's a cast member there, when I hear that they've stood up and did the right thing, even at a time when others weren't, and they are leaders, so they did help pave the way, that makes me proud.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they talk a lot about, Disney talks a lot about diversity and inclusiveness, but they actually live out what they say, and I see that all the time, which is so great. So what do you think, Joel, and maybe Carol a little bit too, how are some of these barriers come down? You know, you've been on a journey, and it was intolerance, and people not even wanting to put their names on a program, and theaters not inviting you back, and all of this stuff that it just seems unheard of today. How did you see these transform?
When I first joined the chorus, our outreaches were pretty limited or very similar, like maybe going to nursing homes, or we would do the Festival of Trees. But this year, and unfortunately because of Pulse, we've been to the sporting events and just been embraced like we've never expected. The soccer game, like we were talking about, mm-hmm. It was a sea of rainbows. And we would have never dreamed of having the whole chorus there. When you think even earlier this summer about the baseball team that didn't allow the problem with the gay chorus, I forget, was that San Francisco?
San Diego.
And it's like, that's inconceivable thinking of that happening now in this town. That would not happen. Things are changing. They're changing quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I got to do a lot of wonderful interviews around that time just because of being involved in the Pulse Tribute and being able to speak about what's happening in the arts community. And one of the things that I talked about a lot was just seeing what happened to those beautiful lives really did kind of transform our community in thinking and places where there needed to be a transformation. A lot in the faith world, you know, I saw churches that were holding prayer services and opening their doors that would have never, ever have thought about doing that before this happened. And so I think that you guys played such an important role and such an important part in that because you were truly ambassadors.
I was thinking they were ambassadors yes.
from the LGBT community mm-hmm. that kind of transformed or transcended, I guess I would say, just outside of arts. I mean, like you said, soccer games and churches and all sorts of things, and you became ambassadors. Joel, how does that make you feel, thinking back at 1990 on that Valentine's Day, that now this chorus has become ambassadors to our community?
Don't make him cry.
He already is. He's so sweet.
It's so fulfilling. And as a founding member, we're treated really well by the chorus at large, our whole group, and respected for what we began in a difficult time period back in the 90s, when it was really, you were putting your neck out to be standing up on stage with the title gay. But because we took that step and were able to continue growing and expanding, now it's part of the community. We are and have been embraced by the Orlando community, the Central Florida community.
You're listening to Magic 107.7 FM from the Heart. When you look at the calls that you got for where you were needed, what calls surprised you most?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think of all the calls. Getting a call from Anderson Cooper, that was the most
exciting.
Anderson
Cooper.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was like 1:30 in the afternoon. I got a call from JD, who was our PR guy, and he's like going, can you be downtown at 3 o'clock? I'm going, what for? I'm working. He's like, Anderson Cooper, I'm there. he touched me right here.
Wait, I got a touch. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
That's Anderson, so funny.
And it was so weird because we were just going moment by moment there. We did the interview. It was, you know, we're outside. It's 95 degrees. We walk away and there's a storm coming up and we're going, okay, now we got to get this. We got this tonight. And JD stopped and said, can we just stop and enjoy this moment? We were just with Anderson Cooper. I was like, oh.
I could see JD being very excited about that.
He seemed very genuinely moved by this whole experience.
Yeah.
Well,
the chorus really stepped up. I mean, people would go to work with their chorus garb in their car in case they got a text, you know, midway through the day saying, tonight we're going to be doing this at 5 o'clock, so they could get there and be in costume.
And that's how it was. It really was minute to minute because I didn't know who was going to show up and what song we're going to do every single day or who was going to conduct because James flew back twice that first week. But that left 5 other days. And a couple of those days we did 3 events. And so it was, we were really just kind of going moment by moment.
Think of what this means, though. We our whole show is dedicated to why the arts are important, mm-hmm. but you were needed. Like, mm-hmm. literally, you had to have your costumes or whatever you were going to wear there in case you were called upon. So it was your duty.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Really proud to have fulfilled that need within the community because it was a healing time. And it was healing for us, too. As singers, when we got to be up there and at these different outreach events, you realized what we did, what we were doing was really significant beyond just the music. It was great for the whole community that we were able to be there.
Well, I just want to say thank you to all three of you, and especially to you, Joel, for having the perseverance for 26 years to hold on through the good times, the bad times, the times the cash flow was low, the times that somebody said something hateful, because we needed you during that time. Our community needed you. And that, I just want to say thank you for that to all three of you. I think it's beautiful.
That's like an artist's dream come true. I mean, what artist ever dreams of like coming and saving the day? You know, right? Usually it's like a policeman or a superhero, but wait, they need a punchline. I'm on.
Why does the gay chorus have on superhero capes? Well, so guys, let's just talk for a second about, because there's more than just the big chorus. You have multiple ensembles and each one is a different kind of a style. James, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, so the main chorus is about 110 singers. And then from the main chorus, we've got four ensembles. It kind of gives them a chance to do a few different types of music if they want to. So you've got the big chorus setting. And then we've got the all-female ensemble called Nothing But Trouble. And they do some barbershop stuff and a cappella. It's really fun. We've got Out Loud. And I like to call them like the Lovable Rascals. That's Joel's part of that group. And they are the funny, campy, over-the-top, really hilarious things. We have Spectrum, which is our mixed ensemble. They do a lot of Broadway stuff. And then, oh, Carol, that's right, Carol's part of Spectrum, and Nothing But Trouble. And then our a cappella group, which is Menage, and they do a lot of Straight No Chaser, you know, all those kinds of things, really intricate stuff. And then we've got a dance team, too. So we've got, they're called the Footnotes, and for the first time this year, we took non-singing dancers into the chorus. So this upcoming performance, we'll see a lot of really, they're just phenomenal to watch them rehearse. I'm really excited to see them out on stage.
Any beatbox with it?
Well, we do actually. Our bass in Minaj, he is quite the beatboxer. He's learning really fast.
I love
That's
it.
That's awesome. So, can we see these ensembles outside of the concerts? Like, can we see them perform out in the community at different places?
Oh, definitely. Go for it.
Actually, Jared. Spectrum is performing this Saturday at the bereavement ceremony for Arnold Palmer Hospital for anybody who's lost a child.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
And they can go to your website. Do you keep up to date with where you can be seen? Would you give us your website address?
It is www.orlandogaychorus.com or org. So if you can't remember, doesn't matter.
.com
well,
or
that
dot
makes
org.
It easy.
Orlando Gay Chorus. OrlandoGayChorus.org or OrlandoGayChorus.com.
I love that. And what is the next big show that's coming up?
Well, that's going to be our Christmas show. And so that'll be December 10th and 11th at the Plaza Live. So that will feature everything. They'll feature the chorus, the ensembles, the dance team. And we also like to talk about our fifth section, which we call our support section. So for all of our non-singing friends who still want to be part of the OGC organization and they want to help out and they want to give back in some way to the LGBT community, or if they're a straight ally, we have support and they are there every Wednesday night with us. They help with the front of house for the concerts, the ticketing, the fundraising. We really couldn't exist without them. So they're really amazing.
But the Plaza Live, that's very impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great venue. And what OPO has done at that venue is amazing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's really great dressing rooms. I get a dressing room. I'm so excited. Lots of fun.
Fancy.
So that will make Frank very proud of you.
Yes, very proud. And we've got a small chamber orchestra. So we've started investing in our local musicians and hiring for each of our performances. So we're hiring 11 for this upcoming show. So it'll be really fun.
That's great. And James, you and I get to share the love of choir directing. And I know something that you've been very passionate about is continuing to make the choir really have quality to their singing. It's not just fun, but you're really working hard at making them a great musical group as well. Tell us what you're doing to ensure that happens.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed when I first saw OGC perform, and that's when I applied 2 years ago, I went to the winter concert and I thought, wow, there's a lot of vocal power up there, but we just need to kind of rein it in and smooth out some of the edges. So, you know, we actually take 10 to 15 minutes each rehearsal and we vocalize, but then we do some all-day music rehearsals in the fall and the spring, and I bring in voice teachers from Central Florida, and they work with the sopranos and the altos, and then we do one for the male voices. And they just talk about vocal technique for half an hour because I think, you know, we just need a brush up, you know, all of us do as singers.
Mm-hmm. What's your biggest tip for vocal technique? Is there one?
Oh, sleep.
Seriously?
I mean, that's what I preach to all my choral students. You know, I'm a high school chorus director too. Number one thing is sleep. You need 7 to 8 hours and seven to eight. Though that would be lovely.
If you're a teenager, you might need 78 hours.
And then lots of water, of course.
Is that what you would say too, Joshua?
I would say, yeah, that probably would be. And I would say too, when you're warming up, to really start simple. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, right in the beginning, and it's not about that. It's about hums and trills and getting things woken up, and sometimes we can do damage. So, but I would say sleep. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, you guys, we're going to come back and talk some more just about what the future of Orlando Go Course is, because we've talked about the history, we've talked about the impact of what's happened, but I know the future is bright for Orlando Go Course. So we're going to talk about that when you come back. So join us on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM with Mary Thompson Hunt and Joshua Vickery. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt here with my co-host Joshua Vickery, and we are so honored to have the Orlando Gay Chorus with us today. What a treat it is to hear of the amazing history that you've all had, what you've been doing, and what you're up to. Thank you so much for being here. I think our first question for you for this segment is, where are you heading? Where do you see yourself going in the near future?
Well, we've got some exciting plans. Hopefully within a few weeks, we will find out if we are getting into the Fringe Festival.
Yes.
So we, for the first time, are staging a full musical production, and we're really hoping we get in. It's very cute. It'll be a musical parody of Pitch Perfect.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, fun.
I mentioned earlier, I saw you last year at the Fringe out on in the, what do they call it, the food court area.
Yeah.
And boy, was it a lot of fun. That was the word I used to describe it. Playful, sounded great.
We're like that. We like to have a lot of fun.
So you guys are part of Gala, right, which is a group of courses from all over the country. And talk to us a little bit about, you know, what does that camaraderie mean, and what do you get together and sing? What does that look like for you?
So there are several choral organizations internationally. And so there's Chorus America, there's the American Choral Directors Association, and then there's Gala. So I was very new to the gay and lesbian chorus kind of network. I'm more was always an ACDA person. But Gala is huge. I mean, there's choruses in all these cities in Canada, South America, all throughout the U.S. and internationally. Europe has its own circuit, which is really cool. Their festival is called Various Voices. It's happening next summer in Munich, so that would be fun to go to. But every 4 years, they have festival, and it's just a venue for all these choruses to come and perform for each other. All these ensembles perform, and there's guest appearances. And I think this past summer, there was 5,000 or 6,000 people there. It was great.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got to speak, right? When you guys performed this last time, you got to really talk about what was happening in Orlando. And
yes, there were, you know, it was probably a very different gala experience for most of the singers than ever in the past because of recent events. And we were asked to sing in the opening ceremony. And as soon as we entered the theater, the entire theater stood up and started chanting, you know, "We are Orlando," which was really, really powerful. We had our shirts on, you know, walking through the streets of Denver, and people wanted to take pictures and they wanted to hug us. And, you know, donations were made to the chorus to get more singers there. And then our performance, there's three venues performing at one time, and there's five choruses in each venue. We were the last one in our block, and it was wall to wall people. And they had to start refusing people entrance into the theater. Just thousands of people. And the performance was really powerful for us, and I think for the audience as well. We asked the audience to sing with us. We sang "You'll Never Walk Alone."
Oh.
And I didn't realize, but we got off the stage, and everybody had waited in the lobby. And so we exited through the lobby, and it just erupted into just thousands of people applauding. And we're trying to get through, and outside there's just thousands of people clapping and shaking hands with us as we went to take a group picture. It was amazing.
So Mary, we were talking about in one of the earlier segments about how the Orlando Gay Chorus has become ambassadors in our community,
yes.
But really they've become ambassadors to the world.
To the world.
About what has transpired here and how that has become a beautiful thing in our community. So, wow, that's amazing, guys. I had no idea.
Just hearing that and picturing that in my mind, I just can't imagine thousands of people there just cheering you on. That must have just, I mean, I'm seeing you tear up again.
Yeah, it was, It was an amazing experience for us, but reading some of the things that the people in the audience wrote to us in gratitude and thanks, they still had all of their emotions untapped, and this was their chance to connect with that emotional hurt that they had when they got to be part of that audience and see us on stage. And it was, again, that healing experience. It was handed back and forth between the audience and the performers.
That's something you said earlier about breathing together. There was one YouTube that I watched that a choir made for Orlando, and everyone in this choir touched each other. Everyone had were either holding hands or their hand was on the shoulder of someone in front of them. And
Mary, that's a whole nother. No, I'm just kidding. That's a whole other video.
Oh, wait.
Be careful what you watch on YouTube, Mary. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's funny. But there was something about watching that it was very significant about how we are all one. And I just say that to you because I'm picturing that night with all of you there and how that probably felt like one.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Well, and you were talking to us earlier, Joel, about how, and it's in your vision statement as well, about how it's really important for you to kind of change the image in our community. And what are some intentional ways, Joel, that you guys are doing that?
One of the things that I think really has stood out for me watching the chorus over the years is the diversity of music that we present. We don't pigeonhole ourselves. We do everything from campy fun numbers. We've done a piece called Men in Tights, where we had guys dressed up in tutus, to really serious, great pieces of classical choral music, and everything in between. And I think that sends a great message that we're not a cookie cutter. Each human being is their own unique person. And in the chorus, it's interesting. One of the things that we're unique as a mixed chorus that sings soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, they are not assigned to those voice parts by gender. They're assigned to those voice parts by what their own vocal qualities are. We have a woman that sang in the chorus for the last 3 years that sang bass. We have women that sing tenor. We have two men who sing alto. So it's really about finding the best in each human being and making sure that they get to shine with that value and not pigeonholed into a little box.
Wow. Not just great for a choir, but great for life.
Yeah.
Right?
How important is that right now in our society to be able to say, no matter how you feel about yourself and how you hear yourself and how you view yourself, you'll be safe here in the Orlando Gay Chorus. And I love that. So do you have auditions? Is an audition choir? Can anybody just come and sing?
It is auditioned. We hold auditions in August and we'll do our next round in January. So you just have to sign up through the website and all the stuff is there. But, you know, people just sing a little bit for me and then we kind of see, you know, what's their range and what's your sight reading ability. That's not like a red stamp or anything. And just kind of answer a few questions. Where are you with your music ability? And then, you know, just where do we need voices? We have a lot of tenors and basses, and we really need sopranos and altos.
Really need soprano altos. Awesome. And when and where do you rehearse?
We rehearse at the First United Church of Christ on Curry Ford Road.
You're listening to Magic 107.7 FM from the heart. Do you find yourself getting calls for new membership regularly?
Well, I think following this summer, we had an uptick in auditions. We had about 60 to 70 auditions in August. So that was really great.
How many did you take out of that?
30 to 40.
Oh, you're hard.
Yeah. You know.
James is Simon Cowell.
What can I say? You know, but, you know, it was really great, you know, because if people come in and we're just overloaded with tenors, there's just so many tenors. It's never a, we don't want you. It's a, we would love for you to join support. Or, you know, have you also considered joining dance? Or, you know, have you, you know, hey, I'm not a dancer, but, you know, the Step Touch Express is as far as I go. But, you know, or it's like, you know, hey, here's our vocal coach that we recommend. And maybe, you know, try a few lessons and then come back to us. It's just, you know, just it's whatever the chorus needs.
Yes. Yes, I get that. Nice.
Are there auditions for the dance team?
There are.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, good. So not everybody can just go out and bust a move?
No, I can't get into that dance team. I just can't.
I don't think I'd be able to.
You mentioned at one point sometimes you're asked to sing certain things. Have you ever been hired to do or asked to do an event where you've been asked to sing a specific song that surprised you?
Well, I mean, this past fall we did something for the MBA gala. Oh, yeah. And it was very specific, you know, and sometimes we do a lot of paid gigs and this is the song we need to learn. And it was a Love Can Move Mountains. And it was, you know, here's the soloist and then there's going to be a small group and you're the gospel ooze in the background. And it was very weird. So we learned it and it was totally cool in the moment when we got there, but it was very like, wow, this is very different.
Just curious. So. How about for you, Joshua, one of your choirs? Have you ever been asked to have your choir sing or any of them sing a specific song that surprised you?
Yeah, no, I think it's right along those same lines. We do a lot of conventions and things like that as well. And so sometimes we're really just lip singing to a track or, you know, we're singing songs that are just really random and we don't always understand how they fit into what's going on. But yeah, I think that's probably it. It's just conventions and gigs and things mm-hmm. like that.
Just curious.
Yeah, it's probably across the board when you get asked to come in and you know, and it's not that you're being something that you're not, but it's not necessarily your wheelhouse. If right. you know, you wouldn't be doing gospel ooze maybe.
Like disco, get down, boogie oogie oogie with 300 yeah. Central Florida Community Arts Choir members.
Yeah, that would
Carol,
be,
you
yeah.
wanted to say something.
Well, recently we did a outreach at Pulse when they first opened the parking lot up for the first time. And it was a recording artist from London that was coming in, and they said, he wants you to sing along, and it's really easy. Here's these 16 majors, and we'll get you the music. And I'm going, Oh, this is happening in, like, what, 6 hours? These are the songs we know, and can he sing those? And he went, oh, yeah, sure. It's like, oh, thank goodness.
Oh, that was good.
There's just no way you can get a bunch of, you know, I don't know who's showing up, and then to go and learn this, and there's no rehearsal. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to represent.
So how can someone join the choir? You said they can go to the website, they can sign up for an audition. Just talk us through that whole process if I know nothing about the Olympic course.
So, you know, just prepare a solo that you think shows off your voice. And, you know, we don't need to hear the whole thing, but, you know, 16 measures, 32 measures, whatever you want to. And it could be Broadway, classical. I'm always really excited by the different stuff we get to hear. And, you know, it's very casual. You kind of fill out the form and then you sing for me, kind of sing your piece. And it's like, all right, cool. Well, let's see what your range is doing. And, you know, and I'm a chorus director. So it's like, oh, well, I know that I'm a really high tenor. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. And then we kind of vocalize. It's like, wow, well, you go down to a low E, and that's a really kind of bass kind of range. And, you know, so we kind of voice up and down, see where they are. And that's like, okay, cool. All right, now we're going to sight read a little bit. And that's usually where people start to, you know, have the shock face of like the deer in the headlights look. That's like, it's okay, cool. You know, we're going to take out a hymnal. You know, you want to audition as a tenor. Here's a tenor part. Here's the starting note. Kind of look at that a little bit. I'll play the chords with you. We'll talk through it. You know, and can you know, what's up and what's down? And do you know rhythm and timing and things like that? And then we just kind of talk a little bit, you know, like what's your history and what's your experience with choirs and singing? And we just kind of take it from there.
Mm. And you get to hang out with James for a little bit. I mean,
it's fun.
Come on. Who doesn't want to do that? So, Joel, just a question you said, and I thought you said it so beautifully about how when you created this, helped create this course, there was really a social, musical, and political reason for it. As you look towards the future, would you hope that there would be a fourth or fifth keyword in there that you know, what is it that the course still isn't doing that you are holding out for and hoping for that it will accomplish?
Good question.
It's actually on our horizon already, and it's one of the things that I'm most excited about that the chorus is stepping into. We're going to start doing outreaches into the high schools, to the gay student associations, and it's not specifically the gay chorus, but the gay chorus is sponsoring this educational workshop experience for these kids to develop their voice. Not literally their voice, but figuratively being able to be proud of themselves, be able to speak up, but use music as our tool to help communicate those ideas with the kids.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
How can the community help? How can our listeners right now be of support to Orlando Chorus, Orlando Gay Chorus?
Well, I have to say the easiest thing is, you know, I have a lot of friends who always say, how can I help out and can I make a donation? I was like, I don't really need you to make a donation. I just want you to come to a show.
Ah.
You know, just buying a ticket and coming to our performance, that money helps the chorus grow.
How much do your tickets run?
$20 for the main stage performances.
Wow, and you've got two in December at the Plaza Live.
Correct.
December 10th and 11th, did you say?
Yes.
Yes. What time does it start?
Is it 7?
$25.
But seven o'clock performance time.
7:30 on the Saturday and 4:30 on Sunday.
And it's $25.
Unless you got a group, we can do a group rate of $20 if you have 10 people or more.
10 people or more, $20. Yeah. Wow, it's worth getting your friends.
And student tickets are only $10. So
really, if you're a student, $10.
Yes.
As the president of the member council, make sure that the ticket price is correct.
Yes.
I love it. Well, guys, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for the incredible work that you're doing in our
inspiring
community, and thank you for just the gap that you filled and the bridges that you helped build during that time in our community. And Mary, there's so many great things happening in our community in the arts coming up. We have Rock the Presidents at Orlando Repertory Theater. Of course, it is the free Sunday at the Minnello Museum of Art for families. Art in Odd Places at the Downtown Arts District.
Always fun.
So many cool things. The Orlando Concert Band is presenting a salute to our veterans. And the 18th Annual Central Florida Jewish Film Festival kicks off at the Enzion.
Lovely.
So lots of variety of wonderful things happening out there. So go out and experience the arts. It makes everything better.
It sure does. And so do you, Joshua Vickery.
You too, my friend. We'll see you next week on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.